Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teen Connect on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Helen Cox. Here on Teen Connect, we spotlight the voices and stories shaping our generation, creating conversations that bring together experts and teens to better understand our world and the role we each play in shaping it. As always, our editing is handled by James Zipbroke. On Teen Connect, we focus on the voices and stories shaping our generation, and so we're thrilled to welcome today's honorable guest, former principal dancer with the Joffrey Ballet, Trinette Singleton.
Hi, glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So let's just start from the beginning. Could you just tell us a bit about yourself?
It's a lot of years. I don't know. Where do you want to start? I started dancing at 8 years old, and I love it, and I will do it until the day I die. Teach it or choreograph it or, you know. It's just been my life's passion, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to follow it.
That's amazing. So you started when you were very young, obviously.
Yeah, my mom took me to a performance in Boston of American Ballet Theater. I was 8 years old, and at the end of the performance, I said, "Mom, I want to be a ballerina." Of course, a lot of people laughed at me at the time, but I pursued my passion and at 18, signed a contract with the Joffrey Ballet.
Wow. So that performance, would you say is that initially what inspired you to get into dancing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can even tell you what ballets were on the performance. It made a tremendous impression on me.
Why did you choose to become a dancer?
There was something about that performance that just resonated with me. It just, there was so much energy and passion from those dancers. I thought, I want that. I want to experience that. And I was, at the time, my brother and I were taking ballroom lessons. But that was the thing you did back then in the 50s. But my mom knew that the woman that we were taking those lessons from also taught ballet. So she signed me up. And I just kept going with it. Just seemed right.
So you just said you started with ballroom lessons?
Yeah, the ballroom lessons. And then after I started taking ballet, there was tap and jazz added into it. So by the time I got in high school, I think I was dancing 6 days a week.
Wow.
I mean, I gave up just about everything else except for I had to get good grades if I was going to continue my dance lessons. But that's what I zeroed in on. I was laser focused on it. Still am.
What all dance forms did you experiment with, and what would you say is your favorite overall, if you had to pick?
Well, classical ballet is definitely, because that's what I did. But Joffrey's rep was very eclectic, and we had to be able to do character dancing in character shoes. We had to be able to do, we worked with a couple of modern choreographers, so we had to be able to do what they wanted. Although the bulk of the company's rep was on point and classically trained. Joffrey always felt that if a dancer had good classical training, they could branch into other forms. You can take a classical dancer, and I know some of the dancers that I worked with, they went to a modern company, some of them went to Broadway. So it was easier to transition from a classical ballet dancer into another form, but you couldn't take a modern dancer and throw them onto pointe shoes. So he always said to us, classical ballet is your center, but be able to branch out into other forms.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like ballet is like your base, your home base, if that makes sense.
It's your home base, yeah. And whether you want to branch off from that or pursue it, you know, that's up to the individual. But don't let anybody tell you you can't.
What would you think about when performing, even from like when you were a student to when you're professional?
Those steps?
Yeah.
No, I love being on stage. I loved sharing my passion for whatever work I was doing with an audience. It just was very fulfilling. And you knew when you came off stage if you succeeded or you didn't. You know, you knew what your mistakes were, and you tried not to make them another time.
Did you perform mostly like classical ballets, or was it other?
Well, yes, I mean, there were ballets that we were in tutus and tiaras. There were other ballets that we were in unitards and pointe shoes. Other things that we were in, ballet shoes. I mean, one of the greatest ballets we did was The Green Table, which was Kurt Jooss, which was modern. It's if you've never seen it, you should see it. It's one of the most influential ballets of the times because it's an anti-war ballet. And let's face it, we got enough wars going on. So yeah, we did a lot, but like I said, the bulk of it was in pointe shoes. If we performed three, four ballets a night in a rep show, two or three of them were on pointe.
So you teach now as well, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
Oh yeah. And choreograph.
wow. What would you say are the most rewarding parts of your career, both dancing and teaching and choreographing?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, I was fortunate enough to work with a lot of famous, you'd say famous choreographers, Agnes DeMille, Twyla Tharp, Jerome Robbins, Balanchine. But I guess having a ballet choreographed specifically on myself was pretty amazing. It ended up on the cover of Time magazine.
Oh, wow.
So that was an exciting time. I think my parents were more excited than I was. But and I love choreographing and then watching the dancers. You see them in the beginning and they're struggling with it and they're trying to, well, you know what it's like to rehearse a piece. There's struggles and then you persist and you master it. And it's rewarding as a choreographer to see the steps that the dancers have made. That happens every year when Jennifer and I produce Nutcracker with Repertory Dance Theater. We start out in September and go, oh dear, are they going to be able to do it? But through their persistence and our persistence, by the time the performance comes, we're like, yes, they did it, and we're excited for them. I mean, it's rewarding to see their hard work shine.
All comes together in the
Yeah.
end.
Yeah.
Any teachers, mentors, or family members who helped nurture your love for dance and expression?
Well, my Robert Joffrey was my main teacher, mentor, choreographer, director. And then I had several other teachers during the time I was studying in New York that I really felt pushed me and I learned a lot from them. Jerry Arpino was Joffrey's co-director, but he was a resident choreographer. So choreographically, I learned a lot from him because I was in a lot of his ballets. So those two and my hometown teacher, those were the three that pushed me to become a ballet dancer.
Did you grow up doing like a specific style of ballet or anything?
Harriet James, where I studied in Salem, Massachusetts, it was classical ballet. And then in later years, I studied the complete Cecchetti method and earned my teaching license from the Cecchetti method, which is a set European syllabus, but it's classical ballet. Although I did take tap and jazz, and little modern, those other things, but ballet was always my focus. But the others help you become a stronger dancer.
Well-rounded.
Yeah, especially today.
Do you have a favorite ballet or just like dance piece overall to watch and or to
Yes,
perform?
my absolute favorite, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, I've never seen it. I've seen a
Oh,
DVD of it, but never live.
it's just beautiful. Especially, well, it has to be done to the Prokofiev score, not the other score. It's always been my favorite class of the classics, always. And I was fortunate enough for a couple of years to dance the role of Lady Capulet in it, which I loved. That's my favorite ballet. I mean, classical ballet to actually watch.
Do you have any words of advice for upcoming or current teens within the arts industry today?
Be persistent. persistence overcomes resistance. A lot of people will tell you, don't do it. It's a waste of time. You won't make any money. It's not appreciated. But if you're passionate about it, you've got to try. And if in any of the arts, if you have a passion for it, try. Because if you try and fail, at least you know you tried. But if you don't try, then you've failed already. You have to go with your gut sometimes, even though you're maybe just a teenager. I mean, my high school friends thought I was nuts. It's like, what are you doing? You know, even my guidance counselor said, "What? What are you doing? That's a waste. What are you doing?" They even yelled at my parents. "What are you letting her do that for?" But my parents stuck up for me, and a few years later, when I ended up on the cover of Time magazine, they all ate their words. Persistence. It's not easy. The arts are not easy. I don't care what form of art you're in, whether it's acting or singing or dancing or drawing or writing, or the arts are, it's difficult. And I would say, don't go into it unless you're passionate about it. Otherwise, it's just hard work.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's difficult too, because in ballet, you can never really be perfect.
No.
I mean, there's always corrections or something you could do better. Yes. Achieve that status of, I did everything right.
When you're on stage, you're human. You'll make a mistake. But what you have to do is not let it show, recover as quickly as you can, and move on. Once it's done, it's done. You can't go back and fix it. But you can't telegraph, oh, I've made a mistake. Half the audience, unless you fall down, half the audience won't know if you've made a small technical mistake. Mm-hmm. Or unless you fall, or, you know, something's pretty obvious. You know, the little details most of the audience will miss. But you can't, when you're on stage, you can't waste your time worrying about something that just happened, because you've got to keep moving. You got to keep moving forward. You can't go back and fix it. And if you're worried about it, you'll make the next mistake because your mind's not with you currently. Whatever art form you're in, you know, if you're singing or doing a musical, or keep moving.
Yeah. Well, thank you for engaging in such conversations so far. You're listening to Teen Connect here on WDIY with our guest, Trinette Singleton. We're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back.
Are you saying out with the old, in with the new when it comes to your old car? WDIY's vehicle donation program will turn your ride into your favorite programs on Lehigh Valley Public Radio. The towing is free, all the paperwork is taken care of, and your gift is tax deductible. For more information, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Teen Connect. Today we are discussing the world of dance with the amazing Trinette Singleton. So this is kind of similar to the last question, but I feel like in today's society, there's definitely a strong push toward careers in STEM, or like engineering, math, science, often overshadowing the value of the arts. Why do you think the arts might sometimes be viewed as less essential? And what role do you believe artistic careers still play in shaping our future?
Well, first of all, let me say, there's that phrase that people use or used to use, we need to have arts in education. But my feeling is art is education. What is a country without the arts? It's barbaric. The arts are an important part of every country's culture and being. Crossover. Okay, here's an example. My daughter danced all her life, but she studied physics. She was a physics teacher. And because of all her understanding of dance, she understood the body physics, the physics of the body really well. So she ended up then getting her master's in kinesiology, which is the physics of movement. And she's now teaching kinesiology to college dance majors. And there was a book written many years ago by a professor, Kenneth Laws. It was called Physics and the Art of Dance. And he really, in a whole book, brought together the understanding of physics combined with dance and movement. So there can be a little crossover there. And you know, they always say music and math go together. The rhythms and the, well, if you listen to Bach, it's mathematically, musically. So I don't think the arts are totally, you know, a branch out there all by themselves. I think they do blend into other, they can blend in. I mean, a lot of the dance majors that I worked with in DeSales, I taught there for 18 years. A lot of them ended up going into physical therapy, dance therapy, massage therapy, things connected with the body. It's not just an isolated thing. I just think the majority of people don't value the arts as much as they, I feel they should.
Yeah, I like, there's definitely is a crossover. And it's funny, I actually interviewed her before. I had a dance therapist, Guyanne Grossman.
Oh, Guyanne.
Yeah,
yes, exactly. I know Guyanne.
Like modern and ballet. And it was so cool because I had all these issues with my knee. And she was able to look at it like a machine almost. This is what's wrong. This is what you need to fix. And she explained it like with dancing and art. And it was just very interesting to see. Yeah.
Well, because when I was your age and performing, and there weren't really any dance physical therapists if you needed to recover from something. They had sports medicine, but dance was sort of ignored. And it's not been until, you know, recent years that they're actually having dance physical therapists, people that understand what a dancer's body goes through. It's about time.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's such a specific field. Yeah. So you mentioned, obviously, New York, and you mentioned Massachusetts before.
I was born in Massachusetts, and I moved to New York on a scholarship at the Joffrey School. I got out of high school when I was 17, and I moved to New York on scholarship at the school and in New York. And then a year later, I was asked to join the company, and I stayed with the company until 1984 when I had my daughter. And then I taught at his school in New York for about the next 20 years or so before we ended up out here.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what led you to the Lehigh Valley?
Oh, a lot of things. Well, when Katie, our daughter, was five, we were both living in New York. My husband is a musician. He played with the Joffrey Orchestra. He also played on Broadway. He also played for Liza Minnelli. So he was busy in New York. I was busy in New York. And we bought a house out in Long Pond, Pennsylvania, sort of the Poconos, just so could get out of the city. But when Katie was time for her to start school, there was a better school out in Pennsylvania than there was in New York, because we couldn't afford a private school in New York, and the public school she was going to go to we just didn't want to put her there. So we moved out to Long Pond, Pennsylvania. And we were out there for a number of years. Did a lot of commuting to New York. I had a school in the Wilkes-Barre area for about 10 years. And then my husband got a job at Moravian teaching jazz music. And Dolly Holtzman, who had a big school down here, our paths crossed. And she said, well, your husband's working down here. Why don't you think about moving, you know, working down here instead of all that commuting? And then I was offered a job at DeSales. So my husband was at Moravian. I was at DeSales. My daughter was going to college down here. I was working for Repertory Dance Theater with Dolly and her daughter, Jennifer. So we just decided it was better to move down to the Valley. And that was 20 years ago. And we love it here. So that's how we got here. Sort of a circuitous route, but we made it. And now my husband teaches at Lehigh Jazz. And I work with Jennifer at Repertory Dance Theater. I stopped teaching at DeSales a few years ago. I just didn't want to work 6 days a week anymore. And I had two grandkids come along, and I wanted to have a little time to spend with family. So I'm here and I'm still working. And I guessed, and I'm on a foundation that has to do with the Joffrey. The foundation is called the Gerald Arpino Foundation, and we control all the licensing for Gerald Arpino and Robert Joffrey, what companies get to do it and all that. So I'm still involved with the Joffrey name and still involved in dance, which, as I said, I will be until the day I die, I hope. Hope to keep moving, you know, keep it moving.
Who would you say are some key role models of yours?
Well, back when I was in the height of my performing career, there was Violette Verdi and Eddie Villella. They were principal dancers with New York City Ballet. And I got to work with Violette a bit. And she just was a tremendous role model. And my other idol was Dame Margot Fonteyn. She was the principal dancer of the Royal Ballet in London, England. And I was fortunate enough to meet her and, well, see her perform, but meet her and take a week seminar with her when she came to New York. So those were three people that I really looked up to in my performing heyday.
What was your favorite part of performing overall?
The whole thing. I mean, I just love getting the makeup on, getting the costume on, getting out on stage and giving it your best. And I love the camaraderie of all the dancers in the company. I mean, well, I'm still friends with most of them today. But I don't know, I love performing, even if I made a mistake.
Well, just keep going.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, if you're a student and you're playing a musical instrument and you hit a bad note, you got to keep playing. You can't say, oh, stop, let me do that note again. You just got to keep pushing on.
What would you say is your greatest achievement?
My daughter and her two kids. You know, I don't know. Family, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you could go back and do it all again, would you do anything differently? And if so, what?
Well, that's one thing I wouldn't have done. Got married the first time. I bet ended in a divorce. I was young and made a mistake. I would. But then again, if I hadn't, then I wouldn't have done other things that I did, you know? So I guess I would just leave things the way they were because everything came out okay in the end. Because
mm-hmm.
the second marriage was a winner, is a winner. No, 40 some years. I mean, and I think it helps that he's a musician because we both understand each other's passion for our art form.
What is something you hope to see more of within the dance industry in the future?
Funding. Funding. Oh, the arts need to be funded. I mean, I really think that's a lot of the problems in the arts today is the need for more funding. From the smallest, you know, a small town supports your local arts organization all the way up to the federal government. You know, the arts need support. I mean, think of all the money that's spent on athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say there's not money. It's just more of it needs to be thrown to the arts.
And then this goes kind of hand in hand with the role model question from earlier, but who is a personal favorite artist of yours? So like choreographer, dancer, composer, anything?
I think the artist I admired the most was Margot Fonteyn, but there were a lot of other people through my life that I admired tremendously. I mean, Robert Joffrey was a huge influence on my life, both as first as a teacher and then as a choreographer and then as an artistic director. And there've been a lot of people, but as a watching someone dance, it was Margot Fonteyn.
I'll never forget. I was taking a summer course somewhere, and I guess I looked really upset when I was doing one of the combinations because my technique and legs aren't all that high. And she was explaining how Margot Fonteyn, even though, like, we watched her performance of Swan Lake, even though maybe her leg wasn't, you know, up to her head or her ear.
It wasn't over her head, but yeah, she was an artist.
It was beautiful.
She had artistic quality. You knew that she loved every role that she was doing and she gave it her all. And she was gorgeous. I mean, just a gesture was just, yeah, but her leg was not 182 mm-hmm. degrees. I feel some of the arts and dance have gotten a little bit too gymnastic. A little more the importance of maybe tricks and contortions and stuff rather than the actual artistic value. I think a little of that's gone a little overboard. I'd like to see it pulled back a little bit. Value the artistic quality, the soul that comes out from a dancer when they're really feeling passionate about what they're doing. They're not just out there spinning and kicking their legs.
And that's what makes people want to watch it, I feel like, is to be moved to see something.
The artist should want to draw the audience in emotionally, you know, not just technically.
Do you have any regrets or mistakes to avoid that you want to share with teenagers pursuing their passions today?
I think I said earlier, don't let someone unduly influence you if they happen to think what you want to do is not for you. You need to follow your heart. And as I said before, try. And if you fail, then move on. But if you never try, you're never going to know what you could have accomplished. If you're passionate about it, try it. Give it your best shot. Don't regret, oh, I should have. Just follow your passion.
And this is a fun one to end it off. If you could have dinner with any person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Jesus Christ. Why not?
You'd have some stories, yeah. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Teen Connect. Trinette, thank you so much for being here and sharing.
You're welcome.
Your journey, yeah. It was very, very inspiring to hear about everything you have done, and I wish you luck with everything in the future. And of course, thank you all for tuning in to Teen Connect on WDIY 88.1. Be sure to listen in next time as we keep exploring the issues and ideas that matter to young people today. Until then, take care and stay connected.